We are back. Thanks so much for joining us. This is Tom from Cerulean Bay. And today we are going to be talking about different design styles from coastal to tropical and everything in between, because there are several different coastal variations and there's many within tropical design as well. So we're going to go ahead and cover those. And hopefully at the end of the show, you're going to have some inspiration. You're going to know what it is you like about these different looks and different locations, and you're going to be able to start putting together some really cool plans and just some great ideas for creating your little tropical escape at home. So I think to start things off, it would be great if we get you thinking with a few questions here. One of those would be, if you could travel anywhere in the world to find your ideal coastal or tropical place, what would it look like? Take a few minutes to really think about that one, because whether you live in a really cool coastal area or tropical area right now, or you don't, it is important to know, what is it that really, really appeals to you? If where you live right now is missing something, or it just doesn't have what you need for inspiration, that's what these questions are for, is just to get you thinking. So what would it look like? What would it sound like? What do you hear in your favorite coastal or tropical place? What does it smell like? That's where we get into different scents from nature or different foods, which can be used when we get into entertaining and doing those kinds of things, which we'll be having in separate shows. But think about those things too. Use your senses and build a mental picture of what that ideal place looks like, what it sounds like, what it smells like, and also, what are you doing there? Are you out being active? Surfing, maybe? Fishing? You're out on a boat? Diving or snorkeling? Maybe you're playing some beach volleyball? Or maybe you're just chilling on the beach in a lounge chair with a great cocktail. Maybe you're out walking the dog. Maybe you're just hanging out with friends. So consider those questions, start to build some images mentally, and then ask yourself the big question, where are you? If you are living in a great coastal area right now within the U.S. and it doesn't have that vibe that you are really looking for, then where are you in your imagination? If you're not living at the coast, you know, or you've never really traveled or seen the coast, just create those images mentally and just use whatever ideas you have about foreign locations, or, you know, whether it's Tahiti or it's Bali or just anything like that. Put together something, because we'll be able to walk you through how to get there, you know, in this episode and in future episodes, of how to then create something tangible, an actual creation, a wonderful setting in your house that you can use based on those thoughts and ideas. So to move things forward here and get into the differences between coastal and tropical design, some things to consider based on whether or not you've traveled, what have you seen in places like the South Pacific or New England, or what are your interpretations about them? But go ahead and imagine that too. Think about, what is life in Hawaii like, or in the South Pacific? What are you going to see? What about New England? You're in Martha's Vineyard. You're in some coastal locations there, or you're in the Pacific Northwest, coastal Oregon, just somewhere west of Seattle on some of the islands out there. Think about that too. There's the subtropical places for people who are not familiar with Southern California or the northern Gulf Coast of Texas, like here in Houston, or the panhandle of Florida, like Pensacola. These are subtropical areas. They're not true tropical. You're not going to find coconut palms here. It can get cold. We just had snow in Houston yesterday, which we'll save that for a topic for another day, because I absolutely hate the cold. But it rarely snows in Houston, and it just needs to melt and go away, because I'm not into that. But that is subtropical. You can think of true tropical. Now we're getting into South Florida. This is Miami, the Keys, or getting into Hawaii. You know, again, tropics, the tropics usually means coconut palms. So it's important to know the differences in those styles. They help you to imagine different things. They will help you to imagine different colors, different foods, different ways of dressing. Very, very important notes to make as you're considering what you can do and what you want to do in creating your tropical escape. So for those of you who might struggle a little bit with imagination, and I've had people tell me that, well, you know, a beach is a beach. The water is the water. A palm tree is a palm tree. It's true, but it's knowing the differences between them. If you were able to visit each of those areas, coastal New England, a place like San Diego, or then a place like Tahiti, one of them is going to be your favorite. That's what you should target. That's what you should use as your inspiration. So getting into color here, it is a very, very important topic, because whether you're into coastal or tropical, in any scenario where you've got a beach with water, or, you know, it's a big body of water, you're going to have color. And obviously, when it comes to design at home, you've got to have some color. So you have to give yourself a chance to think about, what do you like in color? Bold ones, you know, where there's just lots of bold color everywhere, or maybe just occasional pops of color, like maybe in a painting or couch pillows or something. Or maybe you like things more subtle. You like them more quiet. Now you're looking more into the pastels and the more muted tones. So those are very, very important when it comes to creating your end result, what it is that you want to do. So think about that. Think about other elements instead of just paint. When you get into furnishings, things made of wood, you've got all kinds of different woods. There's your weathered woods, which are very pale in color. There's your heavy, dark, polished woods. There's artwork. Artwork runs the gamut. There's all kinds of wall art and tabletop art and cultural pieces. And these are going to range from being pure white to having every color under the sun. So give a thought about that as you imagine what your walls would like, what your flooring would look like, what pieces you might have. There's going to be colors which come to the forefront. So there's one point that everybody gets asked in life, what's your favorite color? Well, I think it varies. When you're a little kid, you're going to have your favorite color. And when you get older, you still might have that same favorite color, or maybe it's completely changed. But it is an important thing to think about, because color will make or break your end result. So to give you a couple examples here, when you think of tropical, that should inspire visions of hotter and more humid places. Think rainforests with lush plant life and landscapes. You've got your brightly colored birds. There's the toucans and the parrots. And out in the water, you've got brightly colored coral reefs and marine life. When it comes to home design, you will find a lot of dark and polished woods, things like lava rock and natural stone. There's going to be a lot of windows. There's a lot of natural light. Some homes have windows that open up to the outside, sliding doors and things like that. You're going to have your amazing beaches with sand. Think about sand. It comes in a variety of colors. When it's, you know, pure sugar white, like you find in places like Pensacola or the Gulf Coast of Florida, or it takes on a more golden, coarser tone when you're on the Atlantic coast of Florida, or it's a very dark, golden, soft color. The sand is very soft when you're in a place like San Diego on the shore. It just depends. And of course, you've got your black sand beaches, you know, places in Bali, which are famous for their black sand beaches. So think about just the things that people take for granted when they go to the beach or even a tropical vacation. Sand is not just sand. The water is not just water. Think of the water. How many different blues you can see in the water. Breathtaking. When I was in Fiji, I was like, oh my God, the water I saw there would blow your mind. It was amazing. Think about the water. Blue, turquoises, ceruleans, which is our signature color. It's a darker blue for the sky and for the water. Think about that. Think about the plant life. It's dark. It's green. It's big. It's leafy. And then think about things like the lifestyle. Tropical lifestyles are typically very laid back, very casual. Everything's on island time, and it is because we've been around, and it's true. Clothing is very informal, a lot of shorts and flip-flops and t-shirts. Any entertaining that's going on is usually really laid back. When you get into coastal, for us, that means something a little different. It's more of a non-tropical coastline, at least here in the continental U.S. We think more of traditional seaside cottages, rocky coastlines, cooler weather, even lighthouses. You know, this is again where you think of coastal Oregon and the Pacific Northwest or New England, places like the Hamptons or Cape Cod. It's Northern California, Mendocino County. It's not going to be so much shorts and flip-flops for a large part of the year because of the weather. So very important difference there. California is a good example. When you go from the north to the south, it's very different. We don't really think of Southern California as being coastal when it comes to the purposes of what we're doing here, because when you get into a lot of the design styles, it tends to lean more Mediterranean. There's a lot of Spanish influence from the history there. So you do find a lot of Mediterranean influence in the architecture, but the climate's very different, and it's just a completely different vibe. So, in speaking of lifestyles, from what I've seen in places like New England, it tends to be a little more sophisticated, or can be a little more dressy. Maybe it's because of the cooler temperature, but to me, the entertaining I saw seems to lean a little bit more on the formal side. I'm a fan of Ina Garten on Food Network, and I love what she does in the kitchen, and she keeps things very simple and casual. And maybe it's that upscale community that she lives in, and you know, her friends tend to be more on the upscale side, but there's a little bit more of a formality in the way that entertaining is done compared to what I've seen in the tropical lifestyles. So even getting down into Fiji, you know, or South Florida, it's just different. It's just a different vibe. For you, you just need to really know what speaks to you and take those aspects and turn them into something tangible in your home. When it comes to color, American Coastal uses a lot of shades of whites and creams. There's blues and grays, other coastal colors, but they're in softer, more subtle tones. There's a lot of natural light too, as there is in the tropics. Woods tend to be lighter. There's a lot more lighter paneling on the walls, beadboard paneling. There's not as much greenery. You're not getting into the big, huge, tropical, big leaf plants. But plants are a big focal point in coastal design. When we think of coastal design, we also think of the Mediterranean. As I mentioned with Southern California, if you get over to Europe, and as we've seen, when you're in places like Italy or Spain, the south of France, Greece, the Greek islands, that is a very coastal way of living as well. It tends to be more relaxed than American coastal. They use brighter colors, more oranges, more yellows, but most of those tend to have a faded look as well, but almost more in a sun-baked way because they're sunnier, they're warmer climates. In terms of design styles, they use a lot of heavier carved woods. There's terracotta tiles. There's metal, a lot of metal staircases and black iron work and metal fencing. It's a different look. In again, on our blog post that we have about this topic at ceruleanbay.com, we've got some really good imagery in there that we use that during our research, what we found. And we think the pictures, they really, really help people who are not familiar with this level of detail. And I think it'd be really good. You guys have to check it out. So we do want to mention nautical, but I think it's an area that can trip people up because one of the mistakes people make is they confuse tropical with nautical. They're totally different. I think where you start to see the overlap and the blend is when you get into tiki. And we'll do a whole separate podcast episode about tiki, because tiki is its own thing. It's really, really cool. It's got a very interesting history. It can be overdone in the same way that nautical is. There's some misconceptions about tiki and what it really is. So yeah, we'll talk about that. But with nautical, you just got to be careful, because it's like anything in life. Too much of one thing is not a good thing. And when you start going real heavy on nautical, it can come across as cheap and tacky. There's nothing wrong with it if it's used correctly. We just think it's something that should be used more of an accent, or used more as an accent, more sparingly. So I think maybe to help people who might be struggling with that a bit, just think of nautical as true maritime. It is a seafaring style of decor. It is life on the open water. You don't want to have goofy word signs. Well, we don't believe in goofy word signs for anything. We've seen those in tropical and coastal design styles, and it starts to cheapen and make things silly, as do things that are encrusted with shells. We are very anti things encrusted with shells. They don't look natural. It looks very touristy. We don't believe in things that are wrapped in ropes and fishing nets. So, but anyways, I digress. Getting back to nautical, just don't go overboard with it. Nautical is knotted ropes, captain's wheels, anchors, brass accents, bells, wooden oars, maritime flags. You know, these are all things that can be used as accents and can bring in that nautical influence, which is really cool when it's done right. Just don't use those pieces as your sole design items. And then with a lot of, you know, whites and blues and reds, because it comes across as being strange. I mean, there's just no nice way to say it. Unless you're living on a boat or in a lighthouse, go easy with it. There was one house, I have to say real quick, when I listed in San Diego, which is kind of the last place you would expect to find a bunch of nautical. There was one house that was so over the top with it. When I showed it to some prospective clients, they were just like, oh, are we supposed to say ahoy matey when we walk in? I think that helps get my point across here. So keep that to a minimum when it comes to nauticals. Speaking of colors, let's jump back to colors here, because it's really important to know what to use with what. Some people love a ton of color. Other people love a ton of neutrals. As I mentioned earlier, too much of one thing is not a good thing. So too much of either is not a good thing. Neutrals are great, but they are a total snooze if they are left on their own. We feel it makes rooms washed out. And then if you are ever gifted something, or you happen to buy one item that maybe has a lot of color to it, it will be the only thing that people see in the room. Their eye is going to go instantly to it, and that is not what you want. Every room deserves to have a focal point, but when it comes to color, you want the whole room to be a whole. Literally that. It is one cohesive thing that you are looking at with its different nuances and elements in it. But that's the goal of color, is you want to balance it out. So whites and creams are great for that. You can use them on your walls, use them in your flooring like carpets and rugs, and even on your ceiling, but then use your furnishings, your upholstery, your accents. That's where you can bring in color to really bring things to life. On the flip side of that, too much color is very hard on the eyes. It's very hard visually. When you're looking at a lot of bold colors all at one time, your eyes will not know where to go. As my mom used to say, she loved to paint, and I personally thought that she was a great painter. She said your eyes will desperately search for a cool and quiet place to rest if you're using too much color. So neutrals help to break that up. And in our blog posts, we've got some really good imagery that shows images of that, of how to balance things out. Really, really cool examples for people who have a hard time visualizing things. So make sure you check that out. So I also want to add here too, that when it comes to creating your own escape place, you know, your place that's just for you, mix it up. You know, everybody's house is different. The room you're using, no two are going to be alike. No two people are alike when it comes to what they like and their preferences. So do what you need to do to mix it up. I mention this because if you have a particular room, or maybe your house isn't your dream house, maybe it's a place that one day you're thinking of moving out of, for whatever reason, it's just not your thing and you're not able to move right now, you can still create a really cool space to escape to. Just remember to look at the actual style of the house and free yourself from the myth that you have to design accordingly based on the style of the house. Nothing could be further from the truth. Just because you have a house that's in one particular style doesn't mean you have to go traditional with that and make it look like this is what the house was meant to look like. A lot of people make the mistake of thinking the style of interior design has to match the architecture of the house. It does not. It absolutely does not. Again, I'm a former realtor and I've seen a lot of houses very nicely done that did not play by the rules, and it worked really, really well. We have a great example in one particular blog. I will post the link to it in the intro notes to this episode because it shows a house. It's an Italian villa, and I know not everybody owns an Italian villa, but it's an excellent example because it's a super rustic place with big rooms that when I came across it, I thought the average person would not have a clue what to do with this. And then people are going to think, oh, well, you know, I have to go really rustic, but I hate country or I hate farmhouse, but that's the only thing I can do with it. Not true, not at all. The examples that they showed really prove that you can do some cool things. The artistry here was done with a contemporary edge in the furnishings. They brought in some really big leaf plants in these big pots to bring in that tropical greenery for those pops of color. The woven lampshades were made from grasses and leaves. It really was a cool mix of Mediterranean, tropical, and contemporary. And I think it's an excellent guide for people who are really trying to create their own cool look of what you can do and what will work. So having said that, I think my next point here makes total sense in not to follow trends. It's okay to look at trends. It's okay to read about them. Don't follow them. You know, I'm not a fashion expert. I know very little about clothing and all of that, but it just always struck me how quickly things come and go in fashion, and things are in style and then they're out of style. People just put stuff in the closet and then in 5 years, 10 years, they were pulling it out again. For homes, it's the same thing, whether it's the exterior or the interior. You know, again, your house does not need to match the style. And if you happen to live in a place where a lot of houses look the same, or you just see a lot of people doing the same thing, be bold, be brave, stand out. You don't have to do the same thing. When I would see these homes, you know, I would show prospective buyers, or I'd be asked to list property in places like La Jolla or Corona Del Mar in Orange County. Absolutely beautiful, stunning places to live. I've had clients ask, they were from out of state, and they would make comments. It wasn't me saying it, that, you know, why does everything out here look the same? Why do people tear down older homes, build these big, beautiful oceanfront homes, but they end up largely looking the same? And then when we would go look at four or five of them listed for sale, the insides were largely decorated the same. I thought, oh, well, you know what? I really can't answer that, but it's something that I wouldn't do. I always thought, do your own thing. Do what makes you happy when it comes to design. You're the one that's going to be looking at these walls. You know, this is your space. So, you know, if you're living in Southern California or a place like Hawaii and you love the New England look, something maybe you would find in Maine, go for it. Create it. Who cares? It's your house, you know. Or conversely, you live in New England and you love the tropics and you want to make it look like Fiji, we've got tips on how to do that too. Creating your own look, it is really, really up to you. So I do hope that the information that I've shared today gives you some really valuable insight into the wide range of differences that exist in coastal and tropical design. We've got blog posts that will take you really in depth into color and how it works, from the paint chips in the store to your actual walls at home. But for today, this was just to get you thinking. Get some ideas going, write them down so you don't forget them, to really figure out what you like and don't like. I think this is even more important today, ever since COVID, when a lot of people are still spending a lot of time at home because they're working remotely, or they've quit their jobs and they've gone out on their own, like me. Maybe you're a stay-at-home parent, or whatever the case is, you're the one who has to stare at your four walls all day. You are the one who is in control of what you see. I think that affects moods. I think that affects well-being. I think it affects your level of happiness. So give yourself the best gift you can to change things up. But before doing that, know where you want to go with your end results. That can be hard to do, you know, just mapping things out in your mind and not writing things down and then jumping in. The one thing you really, really want to avoid is going down the road and then having to reverse and course correct. Why bother with that if you don't have to? It can be very time consuming. It can be very expensive, especially if you're getting into some remodeling, which some people do. So, you know, think about it all beforehand. Don't let yourself run into roadblocks. Don't let yourself start spending time and money if you're not sure of the end result. It's like we always say here, go fix your favorite beverage, sit down, breathe, relax, and imagine. It's amazing what happens when you just slow down and stop and start to plan. So write down everything that comes to mind. Just do a brain dump on paper. Take a break. Go fix another beverage if that's your thing. Come back, read through everything you wrote down. Make changes where you've needed. And when you have finally captured everything and you have like a little list, little tick boxes that you can check off, you know, yep, this works. Yep, I really like that. Ooh, that was really cool. Yeah, let's do this. When you've got that complete picture in your head, you are ready to begin. We cannot highlight enough the importance of positive attitudes. And we're hoping that all of this, what we've discussed here today, is helping to generate positivity, some excitement, some fun, you know, and just think about the relaxing environment that you're going to end up with. And then you can take it from there and get into tropical entertaining, great food, great cocktails, awesome friends, just genuinely sincere and positive vibes. I mean, creating a tropical escape at home is so much fun. It's exciting. It should refresh you. And it should just be something that you can take from one step to the next and then make sure that you arrive exactly where you want to be. So I think we're pretty much at our time for today, but I really want to thank you again for joining us. It really means a lot. Please visit us on Patreon and on our website, ceruleanbay.com. Your support really means so much to us. It's what helps to keep us going. It's why we're doing this. You guys are awesome, and we are so grateful for the time you've spent with us. So until next time, stay positive, keep coming up with those ideas, and together we're going to help you get to your tropical happy place. Take care.